welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Out to endeavor upon God. Now, God, I look to you, the great author and the finisher of our faith. Do what you do best. You say your word won't return to your void. God, bless us right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. That commercial that say you're not seeing double, folks. Double. Stand up, my brother. This is my baby brother. This is my twin, my identical twin. My mother had one seed. The Lord blessed her to split it in half. So when you see him, you see me. Now, Deacon Lilly said, well, I won't let him preach, Pastor. I said, he can preach now if he wants to. You want to preach? My brother and my sister-in-law came up to share with us for Thanksgiving, and I'm appreciative. You know, we used to see each other on a regular basis. We still talk two or three times a day. But every year, him and his wife, they travel up this way to be with us. And I'm so appreciative. Because Thanksgiving is next week, right? Thursday. So listen to me. Thanksgiving is one of the most significant holiday celebrations in the lives of the many African-American families. It is often the annual family reunion for generations that have become geographically disconnected. The gathering around the table filled with comforts of the past, soul food, turkey and fixing, and sweet delicacies. We give thanks for where the Lord has brought us from, while simultaneously anticipating what lies ahead. Thanksgiving calls us to slow our pace, to put on hold for a moment our pursuit of things, and to engage in a moment of reflection of God's goodness. Thanksgiving is the time when everyone tries to come together. Some would travel from home and others would fly home. It is about family being together. But Thanksgiving is not only about one's personal family, it's about all the families that are part of the human family. This is why our church here at Redeemer and other African American churches, small and large, prepare bags and boxes and even have dinner for families that do not have enough to eat. Everyone is supposed to dine well on Thanksgiving Day. And as the country endures one of the most difficult, challenging periods, one hopes that this spirit of embrace of all families spread throughout the year. That's why we're here today, because we won't have a chance to say Happy Thanksgiving until Thanksgiving is over. So I think it's important for us to understand why we are so thankful. Yeah, we're thankful for the food, but we're also mostly thankful for how God has brought us, where he's brought us from, especially when we look at our heritage. We haven't always had the opportunity to celebrate and fellowship openly with one another. Amen? So I wanted to open with that before I got to my text. Is that all right? So you know the other part of the Campbell family? You know Sister Wanda. She's been missing in action, but thank you for showing up. She always thinks if she could come for a Bible study that Sunday don't count. And I know y'all say she can do something when she get home. She can't do nothing now because I got the mic. So that's later on. She'll straighten me out at home. Where's Deacon Lonnie? She'll straighten me out at home later on. I'll be asleep then. Rest on your feet if you can. I thought I would share from Matthew, the 5th chapter, something that's familiar, as always. Verse 1, It says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, and for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me. You may be seated. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Seems like it's some ringing, some feedback. The theme this morning is the now and the yet of God's joy. The now and the yet. In other words, you have God's joy right now. But there's also a yet that you have not had a chance to experience. I thought about Pimp My Ride as a TV show, which consists of selecting an automobile in poor condition and restoring it and customizing it. The more work needed to be done on the car seems to be the biggest motivator in accepting the challenge. After examining the car, the host takes it to a custom body shop where the team begins to rebuild and replace most of the interior and the exterior from scratch. And at the end of the show, the car is revealed to the owner with its new makeover, which most of the time is beyond belief. The owner would stand there in amazement, remembering what the car used to look like. Some of us are broken down, worn down, and torn down beyond repair. We too are in need of a spiritual makeover. How many of us will admit when we look at our lives, it is with amazement? Thus, this reminds me of the Sermon on the Mountain, the now and the yet of God's joy. The background here in this sermon is the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most misunderstood messages that Jesus gave. One group says it's God's plan of salvation, that if we ever hope to go to heaven, we must obey these rules. Another group calls it a charter for world peace. Still, the third group tells us that the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to us today. It's eschatological. It's in the future. That's what some say. And if I supported that view, then the 20th verse in this passage would be irrelevant. The 20th verse says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the main theme is true righteousness. The religious leaders had an artificial external righteousness based on the law. But the righteousness that Jesus described is true and vital righteousness that begins internally and in the heart. Jesus gave this message to individual believers, not to the unsaved world at large. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, see, as long as you were able to read the word and quote the word and have prayer, that's what they looked at. That's the external. Sometimes when we're thinking about our conduct, see, what flows from our conduct is our character. So what God says, I look at your character, we look on the outside at the conduct. Because if the character is intact, then the conduct is intact. Y'all ain't praying with me. So we got to get our character right. The conduct will follow. In the Sermon on the Mount, it contains the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus' versions of the Golden Rules. The Beatitudes, which are blessings, they are the promises of the kingdom for those who live the repentant life. Here Jesus highlights the abundance of God's blessing. Though surprisingly, he names a receipt of those blessings as an unusual cast of characters. In other words, when we look at the Beatitudes, who would have thought that this would be the list of people that we will make you believe that this is who he's blessing? In other words, when you look at the third verse, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The term poor could encompass either physical poverty or the faithful dependence on God. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn. Mourning was usually associated with either repentance or bereavement. In this context, it probably refers to the pain of oppression. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek. This word, translate meek, was used by the Greeks to describe a horse that had been broken. It refers to power under control of those who humbly wait on God. Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You see, the Jewish people understood that God would satisfy their needs in the future, just as he had provided for them in the Exodus. However, nothing could be better expressed than the strong desire which ought to feel to obtain righteousness than hunger and thirst. See, if we really want to obtain God's righteousness, that's the hunger and thirst that the writer is trying to disclose in this particular verse. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, that is, those who are so affected by suffering of others. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, that is, whose mind, motives, and principles are pure, who seeks not only to have the external actions corrected, but who desire to obey the holy heart of God. That's why God looks in the internal, because God has got to look at where you are inside, because whatever is working on the inside will show up on the outside. Because if there's nothing working on the inside, nothing is going to show up on the outside. Blessed, the word blessed implied an inner satisfaction, a sufficiency that did not depend on outward circumstances for happiness. This is what the Lord offers those who trust him. See, the Beatitudes describes the attitudes that ought to be in our lives today. It describes the attitude, our attitude towards ourselves, our attitude towards sin, our attitude towards the Lord, and our attitude towards the world. As I look at the remaining verses, I wonder how the disciples must have felt hearing these words for daily living to which Jesus ascribed as being encouraging. Encouraging? Yes. But the phrase opened with blessed. Blessed meaning happy are the peacemakers. Could a person have also been discouraged hearing that to be happy, one must be persecuted, one must suffer? He said, be happy when you're persecuted. Be blessed when you're persecuted. In other words, I just bought a brand new car. And on my way to church, somebody ran into it, but the Lord says, be blessed. Is that persecution? Even though these are high ideals that Jesus is urging us to live up to, and if we follow his direction, good things will happen. So here are my 3 points. I know I said all that, but that's the setup. The first point is, learn to be happy. See, no matter what the circumstances, learn to be content. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. The reward of peacemaker is that they are recognized as the true children of God. They share God's passion for peace and reconciliation. They reference God as their Father and are the governors of His Holy Spirit. So these peacemakers aid in helping to break down walls between people, like the walls between family dispute, like the walls between husbands and wives, like the walls between sisters and brothers, neighbors and friends, pastors and even congregation. That's what these peacemakers do. They act as the mediator, the go-between, to help us. And we knew who our mediator was. The one and only mediator was Jesus Christ. He was the go-between between us and the Father. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. There are those who believe that this does not describe those who live in peace, but it also describes those who bring about peace, overcome evil with good. See, I thank God for our military. I thank God for our law enforcement. I thank God for the United Ambassadors. See, my further reflections are on others, like Dr. Martin Luther King, whose nonviolent stand against wrongful injustice during the Civil Rights Movement helped to bring about peace. Mahatma Gandhi, who led India to independence and inspired civil rights across the world, that helped to bring about peace. Nelson Mandela, for 20 years, directed a campaign of peacefulness against the South African government that helped to bring about peace. See, these were modern-day peacemakers. But I would argue and say, in order to bring about peace, you must have a spirit to live in peace. No wonder Paul states, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your minds and your hearts through Jesus Christ. And here Paul illustrates three areas of peace. He said we have to have the peace from God, which comes to us as a gift from God. He said we have to have the peace with God. This is our relationship through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He said, we have to have the peace of God. It's beyond our power of thinking. It's beyond our human frailty. It's beyond our finite mind. See, Isaiah would say, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heaven is higher from the earth, so is God's thought from us. These are those individuals who bring about peace. So we have to look at this text and do you see yourself in this text? See, we're not talking about down the road. This is Jesus, when he was up on that mountain, when he sat down to teach them, everybody that was in the crowd wasn't necessarily a disciple. Sometimes we forget just because everybody is in the church, that means they're in the church. They may not be of the church. This is just a time that they felt like they could come and just fellowship with you. And sometimes they sit with you. And the Bible says you got to put a mark on those, the Himenaeus and the Philetus, to make sure that you know who's belong to Jesus Christ. So verse 10 says, persecution, to be mistreated, to suffer persecution on the account of something, being as we ought to be righteous. Sometimes we make bad decisions on our own. Then we use the lens of persecution as the reason for our suffering. Buying an expensive watch, that's your own personal desire. You persecuted because you can't make the payments. You shouldn't have bought the watch in the first place. Maxing out on your credit cards. You knew they were going to bill you next month. Moving into a bigger home, not knowing your job was going to be eliminated. That ain't persecution. You did that on your own. That's not the persecution that Jesus was trying to get us to understand. He said that there are people that are going to hate you, not because of you, but because of me. Because you're trying to walk right. You're trying to live right. You're trying to do right. You're trying to do what God has called you to do. He said, that's persecution. But you went and bought those red bottom shoes. You know you didn't need them. And where are you going to wear them at anyway around here? Oh, help me, Lord. Jesus is saying, happy is that man or woman. Why? Because he has had a true encounter with God. And as a result, the kingdom of heaven belongs to him. The now and the yet of God's joy. It's a present day reality as well as a future hope. The condition of temporal loss to which you have been reduced is by means of persecution. There are biblical illustrations of persecution. Joseph, what the enemy had in it for evil, God used it for his good. He was persecuted. Job, he was the modern day Donald Trump. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Here again, the emphasis is on the yet, to wait for, to hope for. We must learn to be happy. The battery going down on this? I'm not hearing myself. The second point is, don't be surprised. It's not easy to be a dedicated Christian. Our society is not a friend to God nor to God's people. Whether we like it or not, there is conflict between us and the world. Why? Because we are different from the world and we have different attitude. This reminds me when my job was eliminated, I failed to apply what the world or what Stephen Covey would say. Expect the unexpected. Always have a contingency plan and to look with the end in mind. See, the scripture affirms we should look to Jesus, the great author and the finisher of our faith. See, I now realize that difficult times have helped me to understand that better than before, how rich and beautiful life is. And the many things I worry about are of no importance whatsoever. Sometimes we worry over things that we can't do nothing about. That's why the serenity prayer is so important to every one of us. There's some things that is just not worth worrying about. You walking this, pacing the floor every night, thinking about something you can't do nothing about. If they already eliminated your job, your best bet is to pray and ask God to help you find another job. Because the other job ain't coming back. That's why they gave you the pink slip. When we know where we're going, we better understand the steps needed to continue in the right direction. Jesus said, don't be surprised that men would hate you, that they hated me. Don't be surprised that they didn't receive you. They didn't receive me. People will take advantage of you. People will run all over you, and people will resent you. Your presence makes them uncomfortable because you are willing to do what's right. So those friends that we used to have, once you told them you were a devout Christian and you were serving in the work of the kingdom, notice that they didn't hang with you as much. Because sometimes there's some things that they want to do they know they can't do around you. But on the same note, you profess what you were, but you're not acting the way you are. That's why they keep calling you. Either you're on this side of the fence or that side. You can't straddle it. That's what my grandma used to say. That's what God's word say. The world prays pride and not humility. The world endorses sin, especially if you get away with it. The world is at war with God while God is seeking to reconcile his enemies and make them his children. So we must be willing to be where God places us, to bear what God lays on us, to go where God bids us, and to die when God commands us. We must expect to be persecuted if we are living as God wants us to live, but we must be sure that our suffering is not due to our own foolishness, our own disobedience. Sometimes we can bring our own problems on ourselves. And I know that's never our intent, but we know what God's word says. Because he said, whatever is in your heart is going to come out on the outside. So here's the third point. I'm getting close. I'm almost done. The text says rejoice. You know, it's always a challenge for us. How can you rejoice in the midst of where you are, given your set of circumstances? How can you rejoice when you don't even have a place to go and lay your head? When you see all these homeless people or these angels, I would like to think of them, without a place to lay their head. Have you ever drove through Philadelphia when it gets time to go to sleep? Oh, they got a bed. Some of them sleep on those crates. They lay down so comfortable. You pass them by, they got their pillow on their head. They fast asleep, some of them. And you worrying about, how can they feel safe? Because they understand that they got to rejoice in where they are. See, we tend to go through life doing what is most comfortable for us and what feels safe. I want you to do something unusual today. I want you to do what is not normal. I want you to defy the odds. Step out of your comfort zone. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we give thanks. Let your requests be made known to God. See, Thanksgiving is just not a day just to be thankful for the food that's on the table, but thankful for where he brought you from. Thankful for where you are today. Had it not been for God on your side, where would you be? That's the challenge that we have. Here we see how God rescues us and turns our sadness into rejoicing. The joys of participation in the kingdom of God is not based on perfection, but on the coming of God's grace already experienced in Jesus Christ. See, the Beatitudes do not promise distant well-being and success. They congratulate the disciples because God is already acting to deliver us. God is already doing it. He did it with his son. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's why we can rejoice. God required some blood in order to be able to see us. So we cannot use the world's reward method as a benchmark for evaluating Christ's goodness. I'm done. Happy Thanksgiving. But I got to tell you a story. A son and his father were walking in the mountains. And suddenly this son falls and hurts himself. And he lets out a loud scream. He says, "Ah!" Then all of a sudden he heard a sound in the mountains. "Ah!" The boy was confused, curious. He said, "Who are you?" The sound again returned and said, "Who are you?" The boy now is angry. He responds again. He said, "Coward!" The sound says, "Coward!" The boy looks at his father, and he says to his father, "What's going on?" His father smiles at him and laughs. He says, "Son, pay attention." The father lets out a big scream. He says, I admire you. The sound, I admire you, I admire you. The boy looks at his father again. He said, wait a minute. He said, I'm a champion. The sound again, I'm a champion, a champion. The boy says to his father, he said, I still don't get it. His father said, let me explain to you. He said, what you just heard is what people call is an echo. He said, but I want you to understand that that's not an echo. That's life. He said, life will give you back everything you say and do. He said, it gives you back. He said, our life is simply a reflection of our actions. If you want more love in the world, you have to create more love in your heart. If you want more peace in the world, you must model peace as an image in your community. If you want more environment in your church, you must reach outside and compel those outside to come in. If we want people to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must walk in a way that people can see them or see him in your life. See, life gives you back everything you're saying to. You call it an echo, but that's God's grace and mercy. See, the church reflects Christ in everything we say and do. We are a reflection of him in his death, burial, and his resurrection. This is the now and the now and the yet of God's grace. You can experience God's grace right now because God is worthy of all the praise. But the yet, when he comes back again, the Bible says he's on his way back. That's the yet of his mercy. So here it is. When Jesus was late, according to Martha, when her brother was dead, she said, Lord, if you had been here a little sooner, he said, my brother would be alive. Jesus says, no, no, I am the resurrection. And he that was dead, though he was dead, yet shall he live again. This is the now and the yet of God's grace. I promise you I'm through today. But I want to make sure that you understand the principle of these Beatitudes. We don't have to wait for the future. We can experience those now. There may be somebody in our midst today. Stand on your feet. You might be here for the first time. You might be here visiting family for the holidays. And we don't want to assume that you have a place, a launching pad. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says salvation is yours. Whosoever will, let him come. You can come by letter. You can come by Christian experience. You can come. Be a candidate for baptism. Is there one today? Come on, choir, sing for me.
Sing by hallelujah, my hallelujah.
Is there one?
Belongs to you.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
Is there one today? Is there one today?
My hallelujah,
my hallelujah,
you deserve it.
Is there one?
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Deserve it. Is there one today? We won't take this time lightly. Is there one? Step out on faith. Be thankful for where God has already brought you, what he's already doing in the midst of your life. How he's blessed you. He's brought you over the dangerous highways and the byways, every mountaintop. He's brought you through every trip, every trial, every tribulation, every job opportunity. Every investment you've made, Oh yes, he's done all of that and more. Is there one? Oh yes. Oh yes. Is there one on this side? Oh yes.
You deserve it.
Come on, we'll wait on you. Does everybody here have a church home? Does everybody have the Lord of their life?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Well, thank you, God.
Hallelujah. All the glory.
All the glory.
All the honor.
Is there one on this side? Is there one? You deserve it. The Bible says you see giants in the land, but your faith sees God's promise. Your eyes see your faults, but your faith see God's Savior. Your eyes see your guilt, but your faith sees his blood. Your eyes see a sinner, but God sees you as his image. He's the creator today. Oh, yes, he is. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Where would you be without the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the prophet, the priest, and the king? Where would you be? Is there one today? You may be seated.